Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Well, James Corden, he must have a spy cam in my home office. He waited until I recorded Friday's show and Saturday's show. Then I went upstairs and the wife was like, "Did you see James Corden is leaving his show?" Yeah, he dropped this bombshell Thursday as part of his monologue. James Corden said he had signed a one-year contract renewal and that'll be it. He's hosted The Late Late Show for 7.5 years. He says it has changed his life and it was never intended to be his final destination. Corden said in his monologue, "This will be my last year hosting the show. When I started this journey, it was always going to be just that. It was just going to be a journey and adventure. I never saw it as my final destination, you know? And I never want this show to overstay its welcome in any way. I always want to love making it. And I think in a year from now, that'll be a good time to move on and see what else might be out there. We still have a year to go, and we're determined to make this the best year we've ever had making this show. We're going to go out with a bang. There are going to be carpools and crosswalks and sketches and other surprises. I've never taken this job for granted, ever, not once. And the fact you watch us at home or you watch us online, wherever you are, all over the world, the fact that we get to try and entertain you and spend time with you is an absolute privilege for me and every single person who makes this show. Here's to the next 12 months, and it's going to be a blast, I promise you that." Now, as I prepped today's episode on Friday, the day after the news, I was kind of surprised that the reaction was muted. This is a ready move to be like sidebar stories. This is not seismic, as if, I don't know, say Jimmy Fallon were leaving or Colbert were leaving or Kimmel were leaving. Even if Seth Meyers was leaving the other 12:30 show, it just seems a little understated. I guess people like that show. It used to do okay in the ratings. Carpool karaoke is a thing. I don't know. So now we'll get a year of speculating who is going to take over the Late Late Show. I don't have any personal theories yet. There's no obvious heir apparent, so we'll see what CBS winds up doing. Should be interesting. Variety had a really, really big cover story with Bill Burr. I have shared this on the subreddit Daily Comedy News and on the Facebook group page, Daily Comedy News Group. Variety wrote that even a compliment can potentially rub Bill Burr the wrong way. "When I was younger, I would really feel uncomfortable around healthy people. If someone was really nice, I would be like, 'Get away from me!' If someone was an a-hole, it's like, 'Ah, that seems familiar.' For whatever reason, I don't like being complimented. I mean, I wouldn't be doing what I do if I didn't want to get complimented. I have a crushing need to be liked, and what my peers think is huge to me." Variety wrote, "The media have been making assumptions about Bill Burr based on his stand-up for decades. Bill said, 'You can't take one incident or one quote and say that's who you are. It took me 50 years to figure out who I am, and I've been with me for 50 effing years. How are you going to figure out who I am in a joke? I thought I became a comedian because I love comedy and I like making people laugh, but I became a comedian because at the time I was 23, I was so walled off and effed up that doing stand-up was the easiest way to go into a room full of strangers and make them like me, and that no one would hurt me. I was on stage with the mindset of a 6-year-old from 23 to about 37. Bill had a few jobs along the way, assisting at a dentist's office. Can you imagine that? Construction, that I can imagine. Warehouse work, yeah, I can see that. But stand-up felt right. The Boston comedy scene's aggressive fastball delivery style influenced his own, and 2 years after first hitting the stage, Bill Burr moved to New York City. Back then, Bill Burr was working clean because he was afraid of offending the crowd and worried about getting heckled. His biggest inspiration was Chris Rock. Chris Rock is only 4 years older than Burr. Burr focused on steering into my weaknesses. He says if he was bombing in a particular stand-up skill, like reenacting a conversation, for instance, then he would force himself to do it, failing over and over again until he could crush it. He recalls thinking, "I don't have to be Richard Pryor, I'm never going to be him, but each time I could be better than last." And what you find is you actually have more in the tank than you think you do if you push yourself. That's why you should never judge somebody, because you have no idea what they have. Not only that, they don't have any idea what they have until they really push themselves. I was going to the same cities and the same amount of people were showing up and I was getting older. You start thinking, "Wait, am I the guy that doesn't make it?" Which is stupid because I already had made it. I just wasn't selling a zillion tickets. I was headlining. I was paying my rent in New York by telling jokes. That's about as good as it gets, but I was a younger man then and I didn't know that. Also, there were other things I wanted, like being married and having kids, and I wasn't in a place to make that happen." Variety writes, "Depression became anger. Anger came out on stage. Burr's act was volatile and it suited him. That was probably the angriest I've been, and career struggle was the source of my anger and my comedy back then. He realized he needed to make a change. First, he stopped working clean and decided, 'I'm just going to talk about what I think is funny.' The second transformation happened after a talent agent came to one of his shows. Burr said, 'The agent's going, he's funny, but he's got a weird look. I knew what that meant. He's this redheaded guy. What are we going to do with this guy?' It's an unwritten rule. The redheaded guy did not get the girl. My act was this odd combination of watching Ron Howard melting down." That's great. So he decided to shave his head. There's a pressure. Hollywood likes hair. So you got to look this way or that way. That's when I said, you know what? F all this. If I'm going down swinging, and I might as well swing the way I want to. I buzz my head and I look like the a-hole that I was. That's when I became okay with me. All of a sudden, I started getting cooler opportunities. Great article. More from that tomorrow. And again, it's on the Facebook group page and the subreddit. Good stuff on Gossip Corner today with some big names. Dave Chappelle spotted in West Hollywood out to dinner with Sean Diddy Combs. The Daily Mail says Diddy looked fashion forward in an all-black outfit, wearing a black jumper and matching trousers with trainers. Meanwhile, Dave Chappelle sported an eye-catching mustard yellow jumper, which he paired with dark jeans and a C necklace. Pete Davidson spends a lot of time on Gossip Corner. He was in court. He was supporting Kim Kardashian. There's some sort of trial against somebody named Black China. Kardashian stuff. I don't know. Anyway, Pete was there. And from page six, Chris Rock was spotted having a laugh-filled three-hour dinner with Jimmy Fallon and David Spade. They were at the Snazzy Polo Bar on Monday night. Spies tell page six exclusively. Again, it wasn't that somebody at the Polo Bar leaked this to page six. Page six, as you know, has spies everywhere. They have them at the Comedy Cellar. They have them at the Polo Bar. You never know when a comedian's going to walk in. So that's why the New York Post has spies everywhere in case of this thing. It's a good thing spies happened to be at Polo Bar Monday night when Chris Rock walked in with Jimmy Fallon and David Spade. A witness says the stars were laughing it up. They were so nice taking pics with onlookers and they chowed down. They were there for 3 hours. An insider says the pairs shared a lot of laughs, but declined to get into what these specific conversations were about. Another source says Jimmy Fallon's laugh was contagious. Other patrons were laughing just from his laughing. And then back to the spies, page six says, we're told Spade performed at the Comedy Cellar after the comedian's dinner. A source says he walked onto thunderous applause and crushed it. Whew, it's a good thing those spies are everywhere. Hey, did you know Thursday was Nikki Glaser Day in St. Louis? Me neither, but it was, thanks to an official proclamation from the mayor's office. Nikki Glaser said, it feels like my wedding day, but I'm not getting married, and there's a lot of attention on me, which I normally love, but I'm trying to embrace it and own it. Feels like my birthday, and I don't know what I did to deserve this. I'm very excited. Her new show, it's set in St. Louis. What a coincidence. It premieres tonight on E! 9 o'clock. It's called Welcome Home, Nikki Glaser. Nikki said, I moved back to St. Louis in March of 2020. I grew up here, but I hadn't lived here since I graduated high school. I was planning on going back to New York or LA when the pandemic kind of lifted, but I didn't want to. I wanted to stay. I like it here, and I plan on staying here as long as I possibly can. It's just an honor that I get to bring a show to St. Louis. I thought you had to go elsewhere to make shows, but it turns out that's not the case. All right, another plug for The Best Song Ever this week. That's a podcast I am affiliated with. It runs on my little podcast network that I run out of the basement here. Every week, music journalist Scott Frampton picks a song and tells you why it's cool. It's a nice little show. It's like 10 minutes long once a week. Check it out. This week's Best Song Ever this week is Are You Sure Hank Done It This Way by Waylon Jennings. It was the song that started the outlaw movement in country. Get The Best Song Ever this week wherever you get your podcasts. Much thanks to Kenny. Kenny went to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews and became a member. So what does that mean? It means Kenny automated the whole thing. Every month, they'll ding his credit card and send me $5. I will take his $5. You know what I'm going to do. You know what this is, right? Now, this was actually my second iced coffee of the morning. I was out midday and went and got a salad at Chopped. I'm a big Chopped fan. Maybe I'll have to buy me a salad option because Chopped salads are not cheap. Anyway, this second one, I was bored with the caramel and I got butter pecan and almond milk. Now, the thing, you want too much information? The thing I have learned over the years is you can't have too much of this butter pecan filler. In my experience, I found when I have too much butter pecan, that I tend to get more kidney stones. And believe me, you don't want kidney stones. Enough said. Kenny, thank you for becoming a member. He wrote, cheers, enjoy your Java, love what you're doing. Or seriously, thank you for becoming a member. Thank you for supporting the show. And thanks to everybody. I'm recording this on Friday, so I don't have the final numbers yet, but April 2022 will once again be the biggest month for downloads for this show. So thank you all. Really appreciate it. The Netflix Is a Joke Comedy Festival continues. Let's see who's playing tonight. Got my little bookmark here. It says, just added at 3 o'clock, an Anthony Jeselnik vinyl signing. That's fun. 7 o'clock, The Hall, honoring the greats of stand-up. So they're finally doing this thing. The greats of stand-up are George Carlin, Richard Pryor, Joan Rivers, Robin Williams. That should be a good time. At 7 o'clock, Seth Rogen's Table Reads. I'll tell you about that in a second. Aziz Ansari and Friends at 9:30 is sold out. You can't go. Just added 5 p.m., Sebastian Maniscalco. He'll do a second show at 8 o'clock. Nick Kroll at 7. Doug Loves Movies at 4:20. Well played. Donnell Rawlings going to tell you about him in a bit. Big J at 9:30. Sam Morrill has a late show. All right, so I like to play the what should we go see game. Let's see. If we were there, 5 o'clock, we should go see Sebastian Maniscalco. That slots nicely. So then we'll be free around 7. If you could get into the hall, I think you'd have to do that, especially if you host a daily comedy news podcast. If that wasn't your thing and you wanted to pick a 7 o'clock show, probably Sam Morrill would be what I would pick. And then for a late show at 9:30, your choice between Aziz and Big J, I think I would pick Big J. You can find all this on NetflixIsAJokeFest.com. From the LA Times, comedian Donnell Rawlings always keeps busy. They must have interviewed him a few weeks ago because they asked him about the slap in your career. Have you ever had anyone try to get physical with you during your set? You know, time out. Comedian interviews right now. For 2 years, it was, hey, how is the pandemic affecting your comedy? There's also the, hey, did you see Dave Chappelle's special? What do you think about cancel culture? And now it's, you got to ask every comedian about the slap. They must be so bored with that question. Donnell Rawlings said, yeah, most definitely. I've had instances where some hecklers got crazy. I felt that negative energy and thought it couldn't get physical, which it almost did. But luckily, there were good security and bouncers. But it was more than 20 years ago, early in my career, before there was social media. I just let loose on them. Luckily, didn't get physical. It was in the 90s, so early in my career, I had nothing to lose. I was just a young comic. Oh, my goodness. The next question. Hey, what are your thoughts on cancel culture? Oh, Donnell Rawlings said, to me, cancel culture represents some people who may not be in line with your thoughts and opinions, so they want to stop your cash flow. Cancel culture doesn't care about any apologies. They really only care about the bottom line. That's when they know they can control you. But when you're not bowing to any networks or corporations, you have more freedom to express yourself the way you want to without worrying about censorship or the cancel culture taking money out of your pocket. Most comics who are successful against the cancel culture are the ones who empower themselves with a large fan base, and they can make enough money to earn a living, whether cancel culture attacks them or not. That is actually very well said. Here's another hack question. Hey, for stand-up comics, Donnell Rawlings, should no topic be off limits for jokes? Donnell said, well, I believe in total freedom of speech, but with having freedom of speech, you gotta still be responsible with your words. A joke can be too soon, but it can never be too soon for a funny observation. Just because you can go out and curse for 45 minutes doesn't mean you should. That is excellent advice. People can say what they want for sure, but at least have some class and some tactics and be sure you're actually saying something real. Donnell Rawlings, Hollywood Improv, tonight, 7 o'clock. Also at 7 at the Orpheum, Seth Rogen's Table Reads. The exact lineups are still a mystery. What Table Reads are is Seth Rogen and a group of well-known friends and comedians in real time read various scripts of their favorite movies or TV sitcoms. We don't know who's showing up. We don't know what they're doing, but it's tonight. Should be fun. There's a podcast called Off Book, the improvised musical. I'm a fan of that one. That is a lot of fun, especially if you enjoy musicals, which I do. You didn't know that, did you? No, my kid's into musical theater and she got me into it. Off Book, the improvised musical. Tonight, 7 o'clock. Forget lavishly crafted musicals that take years to put together. Comedians Jessica McKenna and Zach Reno put a fresh one on every week on their improv podcast, and they're bringing it live to the Bourbon Room. That's a good time. Back to news from News Channel 5. A former CEO of a healthcare company has filed suit in federal court against comedian Kathy Griffin, alleging she doxed him on Twitter and caused him to lose his job. Trying to see if I understand this here. From the article, the suit comes as a result of the dude losing his job hours after Kathy Griffin posted a tweet about his conduct towards a high school student. The viral video, which hit TikTok, see? Told you, stay off the TikToks. Described an interaction between the guy and the student who was wearing a red prom dress. In the video, the student told the dude, I choose what to wear so you can F off. The dude responded by shrugging and smiling and telling the student, you look like an idiot. The man said in the lawsuit he was meeting family for dinner at a hotel and was the first to arrive in his group. He sat down with a man from California. While he waited, he was interrupted by a group of teenagers, according to the suit. The suit states, during the conversation, the two men were interrupted several times by loud yelling, cursing, and invasive noise in the lobby and restaurant area. The vulgarities were emanating from a group of approximately 40 to 50 teenagers dressed for the prom entering the hotel lobby. So from what I can gather here, the original TikTok started to get popular online. The original TikTok is now deleted. A Twitter account named 50 Shades of Huey identifies itself as a freelance journalist, posted the video on Twitter, which got 1.7 million views. Kathy Griffin picked up on the account and retweeted it, naming the dude and the guy's wife. Kathy got 5,800 retweets and 9,900 likes. She wrote, "Seems like he's dying to be online famous." Per the suit, the guy's asking for a jury trial, claiming Kathy Griffin owes him substantial compensatory damages and caused emotional distress because of Miss Griffin's conduct. The couple felt terrorized, frightened, intimidated, threatened, harassed, and molested. The case is in federal court, frozen until the summer, when a federal judge is waiting on arbitration before the case proceeds. Huh. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. You can buy me at coffee.com/dailycomedynews or become a premium subscriber on Apple Podcasts. Open up the Apple Podcasts app. They'll stick that under your nose. $5 a month, commercial free, and early releases. See you tomorrow.